In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dearly beloved in Christ, if all men knew what others say of them, there would not be four friends in the world, says Pascal. Why? According to St. James, if anyone does not offend in word, he is a perfect man, able to lead around by a bridle the whole body. For if we put bits into horses' mouths that they may obey us, we control their whole body also. Behold, even the ships, great as they are driven by boisterous winds, are steered by a small rudder, wherever the touch of the steersman pleases. So the tongue also is a little member, but it boasts mightily. Behold, how small a fire, how great a forest it kindles. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is placed among our other members, defiling the whole body and setting on fire the course of our life, being itself set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and of serpents and the rest is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But the tongue no man can tame, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless God the Father, and with it we curse men who have been made after the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. These things, my brethren, ought not to be so. My dearly beloved in Christ, in the book of Proverbs, we read, in the multitude of words, there shall not want sin. Sins of speech are prevalent, and many people simply talk too much. When speaking to others, St. Francis de Sales advises us to be brief and virtuous, brief and gentle, brief and simple, brief and charitable, brief and amiable. St. Ignatius exhorts us to be simple, direct, and brief in our speech. Our words should be elevating to others, reflecting goodness and truth. Like the saints, we should practice habitual silence as an aid to recollection, prayer, and union with God. Consequently, we should speak only when required by charity or duty. My dearly beloved in Christ, when a doctor begins a routine examination, he often begins by looking at a person's tongue. According to ancient Chinese medicine, that organ indicates, to a certain degree, a person's general health. From the spiritual point of view, we can also tell the condition of our immortal soul from the tongue. We must severely guard our conversation if we are to be a true follower of Christ. Due to our pride and self-love, we're more likely to give a bad or false account of our neighbor than a good or true one. Sadly, we're often narrow-minded, instead of seeing the whole broad picture, relishing the good points, we concentrate on the minor flaws. There's a very common inconsistency among people who judge the interior motive and intention of others, which they do not know, but are adverse to examine their own interior, their own motives and intentions, which they do know. Father Tanqueray states, rash judgments must be avoided. Both justice and charity demand not only that we abstain from judging the actions of others, but that we interpret them in the best possible light. My dearly beloved in Christ, in many cases, sins of gossip are mortal sins. Every slander is grave when it is of such a nature as to cause serious injury to our neighbor's reputation. It's not necessary to know the gravity of the slander by searching out what damage it has actually caused to your neighbor. It's sufficient to ask this question: was this slander of such a nature as to seriously injure my neighbor? If it was not, there's a venial sin. If it was, the sin is mortal. We can understand why this teaching of Catholic immoral theology is so severe when we reverse the circumstance. We prize our reputation. When our good name is blackened by the venomous words of another, we are deeply offended. Our neighbors also prize their reputation. Therefore, God justly defends a person's reputation by punishing the wickedness of the slanderer. The gravity and malice of gossip consist in blackening or destroying the reputation or good name of another, which is one of his most prized possessions. In Holy Scripture, we read, "Better is a good name than great riches." Have a care of a good name, for it's worth more and will be more lasting than 1,000 precious and great treasures. In addition to holding up high ideals to their children, parents must practice charity of speech in the home and avoid all gossip. Catholic children should never hear their parents utter a single word contrary to Christian charity. One of the fondest memories of my mother is that she never spoke badly about anyone. My dearly beloved in Christ, Catholic parents teach primarily by example. By avoiding rash judgment and habitual criticism themselves and correcting the uncharitable speech of their children with loving firmness, family peace and harmony will be preserved and strengthened. Many sins against speech occur on church grounds. People professing to be devout Catholics often tear their neighbor's reputation to pieces. How can such souls dare to receive our Lord in Holy Communion when their tongue utters such slanderous words? This should not discourage us from visiting after Mass. In many cases, traditional Catholics have no one else to talk to, no one at home or work who shares the same faith and ideals. One of the benefits of a Catholic parish is a mutual support we can all give to one another. However, we must keep our conversations and visits positive, uplifting, encouraging, and beneficial. Be cautious in judging others. According to St. Francis of Assisi, even though the accuser be a saint, let the superior guard against condemning the accused until he shall have heard what the latter may say in his own justification. The secret sins or faults of another may be revealed when necessary for the common good or for protecting the rights of an innocent person. First, we can speak to someone in authority, such as a parent, superior, or manager, for the purpose of seeking needed advice and help in resolving a problem. Second, revealing a fault of another is also permitted to prevent harm to others. For example, a contractor who does poor work or uses defective materials. A charitable person will warn those who might suffer from the fault when choosing a spouse, friend, medical advisor, etc., so that they may not be victimized. Third, in some cases it's permitted to reveal the hidden faults of another for the sinner's ultimate good. Please consult a priest in such cases. My dearly beloved in Christ, parents have a moral obligation to be firm and loving in judging the faults of their children. The corrections given by parents should be just, charitable, and non-hypocritical. In training the minds and hearts of their children, parents must teach their children to love goodness, hate sin, and control their unruly passions and selfishness. Parents who truly love their children promote their spiritual and temporal welfare, raising them in the fear and love of God. We must learn to refrain from complaining excessively about bad situations that we cannot change. When someone has offended us, hurt our feelings, been lacking in consideration toward us, we feel an immediate resentment. This is an opportunity for merit. Like Jesus, we should offer it up. God has sent this cross to us for a particular reason and is a source of great merit. We can only enter heaven with sanctifying grace, humility, and self-sacrifice. And herein lies our opportunity. Pascal stated, "Would you have men think well of you? Hold your tongue." Pope St. Clement I declared, "Let us put on concord and meekness of spirit and in self-control, keeping ourselves far from all gossip and evil speaking, being justified by works and not by words." We can also learn a lesson from Bambi. If you can't say something nice, Thumper, don't say anything at all. Jacinta said, "Do not speak badly about others and avoid those who do." A gossip cannot be trusted. Gossip and excessive criticism reveal the hatred and negative thinking within a person. A habitual gossiper is a proud person. The motive for his or her poisonous speech is to win the admiration and esteem of his or her acquaintances by appearing to be better than others. However, a gossiper generally reaps an opposite effect. Although outwardly people may laugh and seem to enjoy such company, they abhor a talebearer. Maliciously speaking of others in their presence, that person will do the same to them in the company of others. Restitution is required when we commit sins of calumny or detraction. However, no apology or recantation can fully repair the injustice committed. The greater the injury to our neighbor, the more persistently must we endeavor to restore his reputation. What actions can we take to build true friendships and avoid excessive negativity? First, never speak to others when you are extremely angry. Second, in your speech, be committed to lift up others instead of tearing them down. Third, firmly tell others you will not listen to gossip. Be prepared to lose so-called friends. Fourth, choose friends carefully. If you have one true friend, you're very fortunate. A special part of friendship is meaningful communication and the ability to confide in another during difficult times. It's not a sin to speak with a trusted friend or spiritual advisor about what's hurting us, as long as there's no malice. This is unsafe if your so-called friend is a gossip. Fifth, think before you speak. Six, ask yourself, what is my purpose and motive for speaking? Do I have a right to say this? Seven, avoid every word, however trivial, that would injure your neighbor. My dearly beloved in Christ, we must endeavor to mortify our tongue by repressing the urge to gossip, cutting down the time we spend in idle chattering. Most of the things people talk about are not really that important anyway. Mind your own business, and don't be so judgmental of others. Give up complaining and fault-finding. Do not listen to gossip. Reserve judgment until you've heard both sides of the story. A wise old owl once stood on an oak. The more he heard, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Why can't we be like that wise old bird? I'd like to close with a story. It's related in church history that a monk named Pambo, being an illiterate man, went to a learned monk to be taught. In hearing this verse, I've determined to set a guard over my ways that I sin not with my tongue. He would not let his master proceed further to the second verse, but he said to him, if I can accomplish that, That lesson alone will be enough for me. 6 months afterwards, his master met him and reproved him for not coming back again to take another lesson. He replied, "Really, Father? I still have on hand to accomplish the first that I heard." Many years afterwards, an acquaintance asked him if he had by this time learned the verse. He answered, "It's 49 years since I first heard it, and I've hardly been able to put it into practice." But he had done so, although in his humility he doubted it. For Palladius relates of him that he took the lesson so well to heart and put it so well into practice that before speaking or answering what was asked, he always lifted up his heart to God and communed and conversed with him according to the advice that we have mentioned. And the story goes on that hereby he drew so much assistance from God that when he was on the point of death, he said that he never remembered having spoken a word he regretted having spoken. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.